I'm just going to pull a chair up here. I'm going to sit down and give you one announcement. We're not going to start life groups this week. We're going to start next week. How's that? God woke me up at 3 in the morning, and the first thing I did is I looked at the news and the weather report to see what was going on. I woke up at 6 in the morning, and I checked other churches to see what was going on, if they were having services and what was going on. Then I checked outside. And then the Lord checked my spirit. And he says, you're fine. If you're the only one, you go on out there and you have service. I said, great, we're kicking off our life groups. And he said, no, you're not. And I said, yes, I am. I have my sermon right here, and it's a good one. So you come on out next week, because my sermon's done. Amen. So I'm going to sit here until the Lord tells me what to do. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there where you're wondering what God's going to do in your life? And he says, just sit and wait. I'm good. I'm not going anywhere. We've still got 20 minutes. Today is Groundhog Day. One of my favorite dumb movies that I've ever watched, Bill Murray. Waking up, and it's the same day over and over and over and over and over and over again, and he gets to the place where he's so depressed because he can't move on in his life. That'll preach. You ever get in a place in your life where you just can't move on? I have been praying and seeking God these last 9 months of 2013, and in January we called God called a fast to our church. To say, God, would you show us? Do we really want to be the same people that we were in 2012, 2013? Do we want to be in the same place with God? Is there not something more? You ever feel like you wake up and it's still that snowy? We live in Michigan, and it's that snowy forecast that seems to just, it's unending. You ever been there and think, oh God, is it ever going to change? Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's your finances. I don't know what it is in your life, but don't you wish for more? Am I the only one? I find myself in that place in my marriage sometimes. I think I've had that breakthrough, and then I find myself doing some of the same things, you know, maybe losing my temper and going, I thought I had victory in this, God. Am I just still the same man that I was last year? I don't know. I feel like Bill Murray, and I wake up and I want to reach over and grab that clock and smash it because it's Groundhog Day. And I walk outside and it seems like everything is the same. And I'll be honest with you, I don't want to be the same. I was the same last year, and that was good for last year, but you know what? It's not good enough for this year for me. Do you know that 80% of people claim to know Christ, and yet most people who live in our community don't go to church or read their Bible or even pray. Do you know the average Christian prays about 3 minutes a week? I'm not talking about for food. I mean to commune with God. The average Christian prays about 3 minutes a week. Something is broken, and I'm not sure people want to fix it. I know we want change, but we wake up to the same day and we do the same things and we get the same results. Do you know what the definition of insanity is? It's standing at the light switch and continually doing this, knowing that the bulb is broken, but still standing there flipping the same switch and hoping that something's going to change. That's the definition of insanity. It's waking up in the daytime and doing the exact same thing I did yesterday and the same thing I did before, and I'm not doing anything to change, and I'm wondering why nothing's different in my life. And so I want to change something. Do you know that the children of Israel spent 400 years in your Bible doing this? 400 years. It's the book of Kings, 1st and 2nd Kings. Read it sometime. Because God raised up a king, and the king woke up and he says, oh, okay, I woke up and I looked at the church and I realized the church is an idolatrous place. We have idols. We have American idols. We have Jersey Shore. We have all the same things that everyone else has. And they're in our homes just like they're in everyone else's homes. They're in our lives the same way they're in everybody else's lives. We cuss like everyone else cusses. We get angry like everyone else gets angry. And we complain about the same things everyone else complains about. Even though God says, do everything without grumbling and complaining, but in everything give thanks unto the Lord. Don't let unwholesome talk come out of your lips or coarse joking. And we tell the same jokes. We laugh at the same things. We do this. And sometimes you have a hard time telling which team you're even on. Anyway, I don't even know what I'm going to preach on this morning, but I don't know. I told Justin this morning, I said, go ahead and do the life group announcement. So we're ready to roll this thing out. And I said, but be ready. He said, well, I said, about 3 in the morning, God woke me up, and I don't think it was a weather check. I think it's a gut check. And the gut check is, I want different. I have you ever not paused for a minute, and this isn't a pastoral doubt, but have you not stopped for a minute, and when you're reading through the Bible and you see all the awesome things that God does, the crazy things, you just kind of scratch your head and you go, is that real? Because I don't see that happening today the way it happened then. I mean, in small parts, you hear stories, and it's almost like a rumor, and then you kind of go, did that really happen? And God said, what I did, you'll do even greater things. Don't you scratch your head sometimes and go, really? Where is the church? Where's the Holy Spirit? Where are the tongues of fire? Because if Christ has your heart, what else do you have in life to do? If Christ has your heart, what else is important? If you're seeking him with everything, didn't he say, I'll do all of these other things if you'll just do one thing? Seek me with all your heart. We cried out in 2014 in January. We said, God, we will start out the year and we will fast. And those who don't choose to fast, we will fast for them. And if those don't want to pray, we will pray around the clock. And if those that don't want to pray, we will stand in the gap and we will pray for you. And everybody was curious, what happened? What were the results? My wife asked me at the end of 21 days on Sunday night, we ate, and then folks came over, we did the prayer, and then we broke the fast, and everybody went home. And she looked at me, she asked me one question, did you have a breakthrough? And I looked at her and said, no. I said, I don't even know what that means. I just fasted for 21 days. I don't know what that means. You got to be careful when you say something, because you don't know everything. And God said, oh, yes, you have. And I said, what? And I woke up Monday morning, and I'm telling you what, God hit me so hard. It overwhelmed me. It hurt my heart. And I don't know if you've ever felt hurting, like stop, like you beg God to stop. And God began to bless me. I woke up in the morning, and he said, get ready. And I said, what are you talking about? He says, you said you didn't have a breakthrough. You did. You cried out to me for 21 days. You've never done that. Like that. You want me? I said, more than anything. He said, you got me. I said, I don't want to play church. I don't want folks to say, Pastor, come visit. Pastor, come pray. Pastor, we're seeking God. And I don't want them to go back and be the same people. How do we do that? And he said, you've already begun. You've already started. People are crying out like they've never cried out. More people told me, I've never fasted in my life, and I cried out to God. People told me, I heard God's voice. I was at work, and God told me to get on my knees. I've never heard God's voice. And she works in a public place and around all these folks, and that would seem kind of weird. I said, what'd you do? She said, I got on my knees. I had someone, I've had my phone for the last couple weeks has blown up from you, from folks, from the community, people I don't even know, testifying and telling me of the awesome wonders of God. And then I have other people going, where? And it's almost like they want to run and get a part of it because it hasn't happened yet. And I want you to know, if it hasn't happened yet, it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It just hasn't happened yet. Because God said he knows his will for you. And he knows that he wants to bring breakthrough and glory in your life. And he wants to do his will in your life. So if you're seeking his will, I want you to know it just hasn't happened yet, but it's on its way. Amen. It took 40 years for Moses to break through, while it only took Daniel 21 days. It took the prophet Jeremiah 3 years before God said, good enough, now I know you're serious. Are you patient enough? We live in a society that doesn't want to wait for anything. And God says, wait upon me. Wait upon me. You want to hear something? I mean, the craziest things have happened since I've done that. And I believe this. And maybe this is just me sitting in because maybe God wanted me just to tell you kind of the state of the union, the state of the church, the state of grace. And I want you to know grace is on fire. Grace is alive. Grace is moving. Lives are changing. The Spirit of God is moving in this place among these people. And it's happening in homes. It's happening in the church. It's happening in our education. It's happening in jobs. Everywhere I look, grace is expanding. The grace of God and this part of the body of Christ called Grace Ministry Center. It is moving. Folks, you are a part of something great. You really are. And I want you to know, if you can mark something down, I haven't even sent this out to you. It's supposed to go out tomorrow. It's called Save the Date. If you're not doing anything, and if you are doing anything on March 30th, on that Sunday morning, can I ask you, don't do anything. If you have plans, can I ask you to delay them for a few hours? March 30th, we've rented Central Middle School, and we're going to bring the entire church, everyone who calls Grace home, and folks, we couldn't fit them in two services in here, and we're inviting them all to come out and have one service in the gym at Central Middle School, and we're going to share the vision of what God has been speaking about, and can I say, get ready. It is unbelievable. It is going to be awesome. But God can't do the impossible unless we're willing to do the possible. God's going to do it. And I'm just so excited. We've been praying for 9 months last year. God's been speaking, and I've been telling the leadership team, I have no idea what that ark looks like, but I know God's bringing an ark in 3 years. And he said, get the people ready, and the doors are going to open. And we're going to share that on March 30th. Get ready, folks. Get ready. Now, what does that look like? I don't know. But if it looks like anything that happened to me when I said, God, I don't think I had a breakthrough, and I woke up the next morning, God overwhelmed my soul, and he said, I am the God without limits. I give the Spirit without borders. I can do all things. And I said, okay. So that morning, I woke up, and I met with people in this community, and a guy said, we have $1 million grant we want to do that's available to us. We want to do some after-school programs and reach at-risk kids, and Pastor, we want you involved. I met with another guy, and he said, we're in the public schools, and we think we're ready, and this Tuesday, I actually go into the final meeting to write a curriculum for every middle school student for an abstinence program that's very, very God biblically based. And I've been invited in, and we met, and we went over that. I walked out of that meeting. I was clapping my hands. I was shouting hallelujah. I couldn't hardly stand it. And I said, God, you have to stop. I'm being so blessed. He's dropping dimes, I call it now, because dimes have been showing up, by the way. Everywhere I go, people are giving me dimes. I'm finding dimes in pockets. I'm finding dimes by my car outside. I'm in the gym locker room. I'm finding dimes. My kids come up and go, Dad, I got some change. Here's a dime. Throw it into your... And God is reminding me that he said every little thing matters, and it's all going into a big pot spiritually. Every little prayer you pray, every little thing you do, every little person you talk to, every little conversation, I want you to know, those are dimes you're dropping in, and God is piling it up. And God is so good. I walked out of that meeting, I was clapping and shouting so hard in my car going, God, you're amazing. Who gets to do this stuff in public schools where separation of church and state? We're going to change those kids' grades because they're not going to be so focused. Our program is to help them not focus on having to date each other and to tell them it's okay to not date and give them alternatives so teachers don't have to have all that drama and they can have better teaching and kids can have better grades because they're not so stressed out all night long. And they said, that's what we want. I'm excited. I walked out of that. I got out of there so fast and so excited. I drove. I forgot to stop by my house and pick up my lunch. I got to work. I had no lunch. And I thought, what am I going to do for lunch? So I called down here and I said, hey, make me up a, and this is right after the fast. I said, get me a cheeseburger and fries, Theo's. They said, it'll be ready in 15 minutes. And then my secretary who called it in for my order, she said, the waitress there said, for Pastor Mitch, oh yeah, let him know we're going to hook him up. I don't know what that means, hook him up. I don't even know this person. I get down there 15 minutes later, and a party had just finished eating. And I mean, regardless of all the cops and the security and the sheriffs and the state troopers that eat there every lunch, it's always packed. But now there's like 30 people in line paying, and I'm thinking, this is going to take me forever. And I walk, and I stand there, they said, you need a table? I said, no, I have a carryout. And this lady comes up, she goes, oh, I got you. And she brings me two big boxes, and she hands it to me. I'm thinking, that's got to be some kind of cheeseburger. And she says, compliments of Mrs. So-and-so. And I'm thinking, I don't know who that is. Well, tell Mrs. So-and-so, thank you. She goes, I'm Mrs. So-and-so. And I said, well, thank you. She goes, and I had my credit card, which I didn't really want to pay for it, but I forgot everything at home. And I said, here you go. She goes, no. It's taken care of, Pastor. And I said, I don't know you. She says, no, but my son and daughter come out to that youth program, and I want you to know how much I appreciate what you're doing for the teenagers of this community. I don't even know this lady, and God is dropping dimes on me. God is blessing me. God is pouring out. God's doing this. He said, I told you you had breakthrough. I'm going to do things and bless you with people that don't even know you. I walked out of there, and I'm shouting. I get back here. I open up. The cheeseburger was one box, and the fries were the other box. Talk about breaking a fast. This stuff has been happening to me every single day. And it's not just me with the testimonies. It's you and others that are sharing these stories of what God is doing. And it is awesome. And I just want you to know, get ready, folks, because I don't want to be the same. Just this week, I mean, just the last 2 days, I had meetings. I went to meetings, and God is just pouring out. Yesterday, we did some stuff. We had the windows blow up, so we came in to build some stuff, to fix some things, and we got those all repaired, and we're painting, and this got painted, and just so excited. I went to the lumber yard early in the morning yesterday, and I'm in the lumber yard. I'm standing there grabbing some boards and some things and going to throw them in the van, and it's snowing, and I'm standing there, and this guy named Mike comes up to me. He says, hey, Pastor. And I knew it was Mike because that's what his name tag said. I said, hi, Mike. How do I know you? I don't know this guy. And he says, hey, do you know I'm an ordained minister? I said, I'm thinking, I don't even know who you are. But no, thank you. I did not know that. He says, yeah. And I'm checking out with this other gal. And he's following me. And he's telling me a story. He says, I just want you to know that 30 years ago, I was playing for the National Football Championship against the number one team and the number two team in Division III, and we were up in Marquette, and I had a football injury, and I died on the football field. I suppose this is a normal conversation when you go to Home Depot. And I said, oh, I did not know that. He said, I suffered an injury, Riddell or whatever the football helmets are. He said it was defective, it broke, and I had a spinal injury, and it snapped my neck, and right there, I was done, and they took me to the hospital, paralyzed and basically dead. And I had an out-of-body experience. And he's telling me, so I'm standing there, and as I'm standing there, it's kind of attracting attention as he's telling the story, and the gal stops checking me out. And I think, she wasn't checking me out. The gal who was at the counter ringing me up was taking care of things. She stops, and now we're listening to this story. And this guy goes on to tell me that he has this out-of-body experience. He says, I saw myself, and I'm in heaven. And a voice said, you're not done. I'm not through with you. He said, in 37 days, you're going to walk out of this hospital. He says, on the 37th day, I walked out of that hospital. He said, there was a neurosurgeon that had just moved to Marquette who was a survivor of a Nazi Jewish camp when he was a little boy, and he was a doctor, and his specialty was exactly what I had. And he had all the instruments and tools that were all cutting edge at the time, and he was able to do this. In 37 days, I walked out, and God has used me ever since. And he's telling me the story, and I said, wow, that's awesome. And then he goes up, and I'm carrying this stuff out to my car, and he's following me out and telling me more of his story. And I'm like, okay, God, I guess you wanted me to know that God can raise the dead. But what a blessing, because I'm just getting some wood, and all of a sudden I'm hearing about the glory of God in a public in a place like that. And you know, you're just kind of walking around, and God said, remember when we said if we fast the glory of God, his Shekinah, it said will be your rear guard and will follow you. And so he's following me, and he decides to tell me more, and I'm thinking, I got to get over there. I got people waiting, you know, and I'm loading this up, and he's telling me, I said, thank you. You need to tell that story often and as much as you can. He says, oh, I do everywhere I go. I leave there. I come over, finish this, had a youth board meeting, went to the youth board meeting, walk into Tim Hortons, and the manager comes up to me, and he was from the East, Middle Eastern, and he says, "Hey, where is that young man who used to come in here last summer and do all these Bible studies?" I said, "We fired him, my son." And he goes, and he didn't kind of catch the joke. And he goes, "Really? No. What did you do with him? Where is he?" "The one, the young man in his 20s. I go, "The blonde." "Yeah." I said, "Well, that's my son. He's gone. He went to school for 17 weeks. He'll be back." But he goes, "Yeah, a year ago, he left his camera here." I said, "What? A year ago?" I'm thinking, that's my son. He goes, I go, "How'd you know it's his?" He goes, "Well, my brother was able to figure out how to tap into this thing." I'm thinking, a camera? He doesn't have a camera. But we've been praying to find this youth $400 GoPro that they hook up and do sporting. You can go underwater and ski and do, you know, skydiving. And it videotapes. We've been looking for that. He goes, "Yeah, that's it." And he brings it out. He goes, "Here you go." So we're going in to have coffee and have a meeting. And here's this thing I've been praying and looking for 2 weeks that's been missing for a year that we didn't know. And this guy's held it honestly and handed it to us. And I walked out of there going, "God, one thing after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other." Because not only does he care about raising the dead on the one extreme, but he cares about the hairs on your head and all the small things that you've lost and are missing in your life. Now, I got a phone call Sunday last week after church, my wife did, from her brother who we had almost no conversations. I shared a story because last fall he got saved. You remember when the angels and all the death things? I mean, just there was just such a miracle and incredible thing. And he called me last fall to find out where a Bible is. And he started crying in Barnes and Nobles. He's 53 years old. He and I in 20 years have had about two sentences maybe of conversation because of God and being a pastor, and he just hates that, and I just think he hates me. And now we've reestablished a relationship, and he got saved. Well, how real is that stuff? Last Sunday, we got a phone call. He's tied into a great church in Florida, and he was at the altar just crying his eyes out before God on Sunday morning. Wanted to call his sister and tell her, "I cried like a baby because I'm seeking God with all my heart." And this is a man who you couldn't even have a conversation with for 20 years. So is God doing things? You bet he is. But if we always do what we've always done, we'll always be what we've always been. We've got to change something. And in my life, I want to change. I want dimes. I want to change. I want dimes. I want dimes to fall from heaven, pennies from heaven, whatever you want to call it.
I told God that if you said anything about a dime again, I was going to give this to you. So here it is. Dimes turn into dollars, Pastor Rich.
There's 10 dimes. I can't, and I don't know what I'm going to do with this, but I'm going to find something to do with it, and bless, I'm gonna pay it forward, because here it is. I don't even know where this goes this morning, but I want you to know as a church, my life will never be the same as your pastor. I'm crying out to God. I'm seeking God. I'm getting in the Word. I'm getting in the Word like I've never been before, and not to study. I'm not getting in the Word to write a sermon. I'm getting into the Word to be a better man. I'm getting into my praise and worship so that I might have the glory of God in my life on a daily basis. But more than that, I'm seeking God and crying out that you and I will never be the same, and Port Huron will never be the same. I believe that God is calling Grace to be a church where lives are changed, and we are going to send young people and people all over the world to go live in places as they graduate college, that they're going to go out and they're going to know God and they're going to have a foundation, and we're going to send missionaries all over the country and all over the world, and Grace will be an international and a building foundation point where we're going to send people out. And we're going to maintain that the Word of God will always be true. 100% from Genesis to Revelation, we will not say it's a book written by men with a lot of errors and you don't have to worry about it. It is inspired And it is the Word of God 100%. It has never changed. The Greek and the Hebrew from the beginning to the end, and Christ has reaffirmed that. We will maintain that the Word of God is the truth, and there's nothing in it that's untruth. We will maintain that Christ is the Savior. He is the Son of God. He is the only way to heaven. We will not apologize. We will not balk, and we will not feel sorry about the idea that we actually believe that Jesus is the Son of God raised from the dead at the right hand of glory, and He is the only one in which men might be saved. We will maintain as a church, and we will train our children and grandchildren, that marriage that God instituted, that He believes in, is a marriage between a man and a woman, and that is before God, not just a state, but before God in a marriage ceremony, that the two shall become united as one flesh, and for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother. We believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in communion. We believe in those things. We will maintain those things. That is who we are, and that is what I'm fasting and praying, because the world is changing, and the church is changing with it. It has become idolatrous. It is becoming compromising. It's becoming afraid and timid in a world that's not even persecuting it. It's simply doing it because it's lazy. We have not seen persecution. We simply hear arguments and we feel bad. But at Grace, know this: if someone comes through the door and they feel like they're going to vote or have some kind of say or ask us to change so that they might feel more comfortable, that will not be grace. If they come in here, they will find peace, they will find joy, and they will find salvation, but they may not find comfort, because this is not a place of comfort. This is a place of training and seeking God. Amen. So, I don't know if they'll see the groundhog today or not. And maybe this is what God intended, is for us to simply kind of get our bearings, set our compass. And next week, we will disciple. Get involved in a life group. I know that's scary for some of you. But you know, we have folks that have opened up their houses so that you could come in. And if you don't make all the weeks and the times and everything, it's okay. It really is. Get in there. Get connected. Even if it's one time out of the 7 weeks this time, get connected. Find a way to grow in your faith. Do something different. Grow in your faith. Okay? That's all I have for you. Let's pray. Let's stand and pray together.